So I'm really excited. This morning I'm going to speak about the gift of prophecy. As Paul said, we've been for a couple of weeks, we've been looking at the spiritual gifts. And I know that for some of you, this has been an uncomfortable series. The teaching has felt uncomfortable because you've heard of a lot of bad things in the world. Or you might have been personally hurt by wrong prophetic words or false prophets speaking over you. And for me, the main reason why it's weird for me is just sometimes it can get very weird. I don't know if it's just me. People can get really weird with these things. But it doesn't have to be weird. I think the main reason we miss it sometimes is one of the ways that people normally look at prophecy is they look at it as something that we call foretelling, almost like fortune telling. And I want to say to you that biblical prophecy and what I'm going to speak to you about this morning is not fortune telling. It's not telling you what you had for breakfast yesterday or what you're going to have for breakfast tomorrow. That's not what it is. What I'd love to focus on is more forth-telling. It's hearing what God's heart is and sharing God's heart with each other. So are you ready for that? Okay, we want to share God's heart with each other. So I'm going to start with two quick stories this morning. The first one is of friends of ours. I did ask them permission to share this story, and they said that I am welcome to. I said I can keep it anonymous, but they said it's fine, I can share. Their names are Andre and Carmine Hubert. They are part of the Durbanville Josh Jane congregation. Love them to bits, been friends with them for a number of years. And they really wanted children. They're a bit older than I am. And so they were trusting God for children. But for a number of years, they struggled to have kids. They prayed about it. They went to multiple doctors to try and figure out what was wrong. Why is she not falling pregnant? And they got to a point of really like crying out to the Lord, saying, Lord, we'd love a child, but we're not sure what to do. We've seen so many doctors. Eventually, they came to a doctor who diagnosed this friend of ours with a disease called Hashimoto's disease. It's an autoimmune disease where your body basically attacks itself. There's something of a haywire that goes in your body. The wires get crossed a little bit, and your body attacks itself. And so she could not keep a baby. She tried. They were trusting the Lord, but it wasn't working out. And so what they did try, what all of us would have tried, is they tried to changed the diet. She tried to exercise more. She really tried to remedy the problem. And then they went to church one day and a lady came up to them and said, listen, I've been praying for you guys and I just felt the Lord laying something on my heart for you, but it's a bit of an awkward word. It's an awkward prophetic word that I want to bring to you. And she felt ashamed and she said, okay, let your husband come stand here. You can go test this. This is really awkward for me to say, but I felt like the Lord said to me that he does want you to have a child, and the Lord put a specific date on my heart. I think the kids have left us. And this date is the date that I really believe the Lord is saying that you should have a date night on that night. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. You all with me? If you don't understand, you can ask the person next to you later. They can explain it to you. You must have a date night. And you know, the Bible says that we must test prophecies, and her husband was really excited to test this prophecy just to make sure that it's from the Lord. And so they actually went and they tested the prophecy. Lo and behold, it is now about 2.5 years later, and they've got a beautiful little boy called Vaut Hubert, and he's just a joy, and God gave them a child, and it was because of that prophetic word and because of testing the word. Isn't that wonderful? Like, how beautiful that God wants to be involved in the intricacies and the detail of our lives. That he wants to come even in that space, and he wants to come and give a word to encourage and to bring them to a place of having their own child. And what calling must God not have on that child, eh? If God got involved in the intricacies. Now, that's a radical testimony of prophecy. But I want to tell you one that's maybe a little bit less radical, and then we're going to jump into what the Bible teaches. But a couple of years ago, we started a church in Stellenbosch. And leading a church, you only work on Sundays and sometimes on Tuesdays. I don't know why you're not laughing, because that's not really the case. Leading a church sometimes is really difficult. It's busier than you would think, and there's more stress than you would imagine. But there was this one guy in the church that I knew that if no one else was praying for me, Christian would always be praying for me. He was a prayer warrior, and he still is a prayer warrior. Wonderful young guy. And he would just send me a message saying, Lord, Leonard, I was praying for you, and I just experienced something non-radical on my heart. I thought of a scripture while praying for you, and I just wanted to say that God sees you and He's with you. That's so not radical. Or you would say, I was praying and I just had this experience, almost like I saw a picture in my imagination of you standing with a sword, and I want to encourage you that the Lord sees the fight that you're in and He's with you. And let me tell you, as He shared those words, there was courage that came into my heart, and there was encouragement that came into my heart. And that's so beautiful. And so I wanted to start with those two testimonies to say that that is what prophecy is and can be. It can be these big things, like the Lord wants you to have a child, and this is how He's going to do it. And it can be these small things of just saying, hey man, the Lord loves you, and the Lord sees you. But I want to say God wants more of those moments in our lives. And He wants more of those moments in the church. He wants us to be a church where we actually share what God lays on our hearts with each other. And so I want to just, at the outset of this message, as we're going to speak about prophecy, I want to define prophecy, but because we've been going for long, I'm going to include you in how we define prophecy. So if you can please say after me, prophecy is hearing from God. No, sorry, I missed that. Prophecy is God speaking to me for you. But show the person next to you, for you, to build you up, to stir you up, or to cheer you up. Let's try that once more, because I want to just get us really listening to this message. Okay, I'm going to try and get it right. Let me read it. Prophecy is when God speaks to me for you. Touch the person's arm, say, to build you up, to stir you up, or to cheer you up. Is that enough? Is church awkward enough? It's good that we do these things, especially for the introverts. That was just for you. It was to make you feel better. So God really does want prophecy, because God wants to build up His church. God wants to stir up His church, and God wants to cheer up His people. And so one of the ways that God does that is He's going to, like the prophetic words that we just heard about, God is actually going to bring us to a place, and I believe He wants to bring us to a place more, where He speaks to you for someone else. And that's what I'd love to activate in us this morning. So let's dig into the Bible, but I'm going to start by telling you a story, and then we're going to do that. In the United States of America, there's this massive river called the Mississippi River. Lots of us would have heard about it because it's how you learn to count slowly. You say one Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi. That's the Mississippi River. It's one of the largest, deepest, widest rivers in the world. You'll see there's a massive boat and a barge with containers being shipped over this river. So you can get an idea of how big it is. To give you some more info, it starts all the way to the north of the United States in Canada. It runs through two Canadian provinces, and then it runs through 32 states in the United States. Anyway, it goes through America, right? And then it ends in the Gulf of Mexico, Trump famously now called the Gulf of America, because you can't call it the Gulf of Mexico. It needs to be the Gulf of America. So it goes all the way through a massive country. It's 3,700 kilometers long. To give you an idea of how long that is, if you were to drive from here to Cape Town, that's 1,000 kilometers. So times that by about four, and that's how long this river is. It's a massive river. It brings life agriculturally. There are farms around this river. It helps people transport things like you see there. It connects people. It brings life. Rivers really do bring life. I'm going to tell you two quick stories. I'm going to relate this to prophecy in a moment, of the Mississippi River. The first one is in 1927, and there was lots and lots of rains. It's about 100 years ago. There was lots of rain throughout America, throughout Canada, and even into Mexico. There was floods and lots of rain. And what happened was, because of all the water kept building up in the Mississippi River, and eventually the banks were flooded. It went over the banks in about 100 different locations, and it caused utter devastation. It ran over farmlands, It ran over towns and cities. And I wrote this down. It turned 7,000 square kilometers into an inland sea. Meaning there was not just this little bit of water, it turned it into somewhat of an inland ocean, 7,000 square kilometers. To give you an idea of how big that is, that's 30 times the size of the entire Bloemfontein metropole. So that's even all the way to Langenhoefenpark, you know, it's like, it's the entire Bloemfontein, 30 Bloemfonteins, that was completely flooded. Now you can imagine the devastation caused by a river flooding like that. Farms, the agricultural community took a massive shot. They couldn't put any boats over there, so lots of the transport was halted. Cities, towns, houses were broken down. Businesses were broken down. It actually took generations for the United States to recover from what happened in 1927. Fast forward almost 100 years to 2012, and there was an incredible drought in the United States, and there wasn't enough water. And eventually what started happening is the Mississippi River water started receding to a point where they could not send any transport over it, where the farmers couldn't use the water for agriculture, and the entire United States was affected by it again, but this time by a drought. I'm going to explain this, why I'm saying this, in a moment. But I want to use this to say that the life of God and prophecy is actually very much like a river, very much so. Because as we get together as a church, do you know that God wants rivers of living water to flow in this church? God does not just want a church where there's a good program, where there's good lights, where you've got a beautiful building. God is not interested in those things as much as we are interested in it. What God is really interested in is when His people come together, that He is with us and that He moves amongst us. And unfortunately, so many of us grow up in church where church is you go on a Sunday, you leave afterwards, but we don't really care whether God moves. It's more about an intellectual pursuit or maybe making friends. Those things are not important, but they're not what church is about. Man, I think of Moses in the Old Testament, in the book of Exodus. He said, God said, you can go to the promised land, but I'm not going with you. And Moses cried before the Lord, and Moses said, Lord, if your spirit, if your presence does not go with us, then we don't want to go. And I want to say that church for us, when we come together, when we have our Sunday meetings, can't we have the same heart? Lord, if you're not with us, then we don't want to have church. If your spirit is not with us, if you are not changing our lives, then what are we doing here? Are we just ticking a box to make ourselves feel better? Listen, it's not worth it. There's better things that you can do on your Sunday mornings. Let me tell you that. There are much better things that you can do, much more entertaining things that you can do. You can rest more. But why do we come together? We come together because we want the river of God to flow. And when we come together, we trust that the Spirit of God would be present with us. Can I just get an amen, please? I don't know. I'm preaching my heart out here because I really feel passionate about this. But if God's not with us, then we are utterly wasting our time. I don't want this to be a self-help message. You can read books about that. No, we want the power of God to be present as His people come together. And I think so many churches fall into dead religion, into traditions, and we miss the life of God. But we want the life of God. We want the river of God to flow. And so it's important. And one of the ways that river flows is we need the voice of God in our meetings. We need God to speak to us. And yes, He speaks through a sermon, but do you know that sometimes He also wants to speak to you individually? And He's going to do that through prophetic words coming into the church. And so we need this river. We can't let, like the Mississippi River, we can't let the water subside. Man, if we experience that there's no water here, then we should get on our knees and fast and pray and say, Lord, we're wasting our time. Until You come, until Your Spirit comes, Lord, we're wasting our time. In the same way, as the Lord comes throughout His Bible, what He's also given us is He's given us riverbanks, or He's given us boundaries in which the Spirit is going to flow. So as much as I want the Lord to be here, let me tell you one other thing. I don't want to be weird for the sake of being weird. I don't just want to be at church and say, now the Holy Spirit's going to flow, no one's going to preach, we're just going to let God do His thing, because that's also not how God works. God puts riverbanks in place, and if we don't put the boundaries, the riverbanks in place, prophecy, prophetic words, the gifts of the Spirit, it can cause devastation and we can actually get hurt. Anyone ever gotten hurt by people being weird about the gifts in your life? Can I just see a show of hands? Some of you. Some of us have. That's normally when the boundaries are not in place, when the riverbanks are not where they're supposed to be. And so what we need when we speak about prophecy and what we're going to dig into in the Bible this morning is we need two things. We need desire. Lord, we desire you. We desire your Spirit. We desire your presence in our lives. But with desire, what we also need is we need discernment. To say, Lord, when you come, let us discern where the boundaries are and how you will flow. So let me look at those two things with you. The Bible teaches, firstly, when it comes to the spiritual gifts, he teaches that we should have desire. If you can put up 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1. It says, yes, that's the one. Pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Just say that with me, desire. 1, 2, 3, desire. The Bible teaches that you need to have a desire for the spiritual gifts. And in fact, it says, especially that you may prophesy. I think the best gift out of the spiritual gifts that you could want and desire in your life is prophecy. Why? Because prophecy builds God's church when it's done in God's way. When you hear from God for someone else and you can share that in a correct manner, that's going to build that person up and they're going to grow in their faith. And so the Bible says we are to be those who really desire prophecy. And so my first question to you is, do you actually desire it? Because I think many of us would say, yes, I sort of desire it, but I'm not like one of those hyper-spiritual people. I don't sleep with the angels. I don't glow in the dark. I don't get WhatsApps from the Holy Spirit. You might say that you're not one of those, but I want to say to you, it really doesn't matter who you are. This is a scripture for everyone. In fact, Paul later says, I desire that all would speak in tongues, but especially that all would prophesy. And so the Bible's desire is that all of us would be, I'm going to say this, non-selfish Christians that don't only pray for ourselves, but that our prayer lives also revolve around praying for others so that God can speak to us, for others, for the upbuilding of the church. Amen? Amen. We need that. You need to have a desire. And if you've been hurt or you have misunderstood the gifts, I want to say, come to a place of desire. God wants his river of living water to flow through you. And then secondly, the Bible teaches in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3, two verses on, that we should also have discernment. So it says here, but everyone who prophesies speaks to men and women for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. And so when prophetic words comes, when God speaks to you for others, the framework in which he's going to do that, the boundaries in which he's going to do that, the riverbanks put up for God is, every time you prophesy, it must be to strengthen people, to encourage people, and to comfort people. It doesn't say scare people. It doesn't say manipulate people. It doesn't say show people how spiritual you are. That's not the heart of prophecy. The heart in which prophecy should flow is it should be there to strengthen, to build up. When you share a prophetic word, did it build the person up in love? Do they feel stronger in the Lord after that message that you shared with them versus before? Do they feel strengthened? Do they feel built up? Do they feel encouraged? Do they feel stirred up? They might have gone weak in their relationship with God or weak in the things of God, and you can bring a prophetic word, but the boundaries in which it must be is you must take that person and stir them up and say, God wants to use you. God loves you. And you stir up faith in them. If someone is not stirred up, you've missed it. The river has gone over the banks. And then finally, for comfort, some people, when we share words, people should feel cheered up. They should feel like, man, I felt sad and now I'm happy. I felt like I lost perspective of God, but somehow through this word, I see perspective again. I see God again. I know that he's speaking to me again. I know that he loves me. Am I making sense? Those are the riverbanks in which we should flow. So these are not, prophetic words are not very rarely is it who you should marry, where you should live? Those things do happen in the Bible, but I think it's very rare. I think what prophecy mostly is what we just heard about. It's not, hey, you should marry this person. Listen, I've received a prophetic word like that. Let me give you a spoiler. I did not marry that person. But she's married to someone else, and that's much better. It's much better. I found my wife. That prophecy was wrong. It was over the riverbanks. It's not to divorce someone, because that's outside of the bounds of Scripture, because I think that's important. When we prophesy, it's always in line with what the Bible says. That's one of our riverbanks. It's the most important riverbank, actually. If it falls outside of the boundary of Scripture, you've missed it. That was not a prophetic word from the Lord. Man, I've seen that. I've seen prophecies or people saying that God spoke to them, and I'm like, nee, yet it's geruak. Like, I've lost you guys somewhere. No, that's not the Lord. No. When the Lord speaks, it is to build up. It's to cheer up. It's to stir up. And it's all within the boundaries of the Bible. It's not these weird things. Anyway, I can mention so many examples. So I'd love to try and equip us this morning, as I said, because I want us to pray for each other afterwards. And I want to equip us with two things, very practical. I want to teach us out of the Bible this morning, how do we give a prophecy? How do you prophesy over someone? And secondly, how do you receive a prophecy or receive a prophetic word? Because both are actually important. So let me look at how we give prophetic words. That's actually much better. That's wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. I see you. Thank you. So the way in which this is so much better. It's like, I feel like you guys aren't being lulled to sleep, and myself included. I think we can look at this. So I just want to say, I'm going to speak about those two things, just to recap. How do we prophesy, and how are we prophesy to? When I speak about how to prophesy, I'm not going to speak about how we prophesy corporately, because the Bible does speak about that. It says it must be done in order. One must speak at a time. It's not like everyone has the mic. There's just one mic. I'm not going to speak about that. I want to speak about personal prophecy. When I pray for you, how do I hear the voice of God for you? How do we do that? I want to equip us. And so let's look at once a few scriptures together. John 10, verse 27. It says the following, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." I think the first thing we must realize when it comes to personal prophetic words, when you are trusting God for someone else, is you do hear the voice of God. Not you can hear the voice of God. I want to make that clear. You do hear the voice of God. Are you with me? God is speaking to you. If you are in relationship with Him, this is not if you fast for 10 days, if you pray for an hour a day, then you will hear my voice. No, the Bible is very clear in John 10, verse 27. Jesus is saying this. He says, "My sheep do hear my voice." And I think sometimes we just don't realize that God is speaking to us. I find it like this. When you learn a new language, a couple of years ago, I went to Brazil and I was there for a month. It was a wonderful time, but if you get into Brazil, lots of them can't speak English. They speak Portuguese. And it's very difficult to understand initially. But the longer you are there, essentially after a while, you start picking up on certain words. And you realize, oh, that's what you're saying. Oh, that's what you're saying. And after a month, sometimes I could even by picking up a few words, I could pick up sentences of what people are saying. Because you are immersed in a different language. And in the same way, when you get saved, when you enter the kingdom of heaven, of God, you get saved, you give your life to Jesus, what essentially happens is you get born again into a new country, God's country. Your life changes. You are part of a different kingdom. And in this kingdom, God is speaking, but if we can just be those people to attentively listen, to say, "Lord, I want to get to know your language," then eventually you're going to start realizing, God led me there, or God showed me this, or this scripture stood out to me, and that was actually God speaking to you. You start getting to know the voice of God. And so it's important if you're sitting here to know that God is speaking to you, and He wants you to just open your ears and say, "Lord, teach me." I do think that this is such a beautiful scripture actually to help us understand, because the analogy here that's used about the voice of God is it says, "My sheep hear my voice." And Let's look at that for a moment. How does a shepherd speak to his sheep? Because I think that's why we sometimes miss the voice of God. This is what he does not do. He does not go to the sheep and whisper in his ear and say, hey, listen, around that little mountain, there's a kraal. What is that? There's a kraal. What I want you to do is walk around that mountain. When you take 10 steps, I want you to turn left, sharp left, 90 degrees left. Then go straight for 20 steps. Then turn right, and there you're going to see where the safety is and where the, what's a scroll? A pen. Where the pen is that I want you to go to. That's not what he does. And many times we think the voice of God is like that, and we miss the voice of God. We think that God is going to come to you, and he's going to say, I want you to do A, B, C exactly. That's not how a shepherd speaks to his people. He doesn't say to you, I want you in 2 days to eat this breakfast or put these socks on. He doesn't do that. What he does is he leads us. And so sometimes I think our language is stands in the way, because we say, God spoke to me, and we say it with such confidence that as a young believer, I struggled with that. I'm like, but then I don't hear God like you do. It sounds like you hear a voice out of heaven. And I don't. What I more experience is I experience the voice of my master speaking somewhere in that direction. And then I go in that direction. That's God's voice. Or I feel him nudging me in that direction. I can hear him talking behind that little mountain. And so I look for him. That's the voice of God. It's looking for my shepherd, hearing his voice and looking for him. Are you with me? So don't be deceived. Don't think when people speak, don't feel inferior. No, we look for the voice of God. We hear it sometimes in the distance and we seek him. That is what the voice of God is. And our language does not always help us. I think sometimes rather saying, I feel led, or I was reminded, is better language. And so that's the first thing when it comes to that. You can hear the voice of God. Then I want to say that when you prophesy, this is such an important scripture in Romans 12, verse 3. The Bible gives us such good guidance. It says, for by the grace given to you, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. What a wonderful scripture. Be humble, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. And then it speaks about prophecy in the next verse. Have you got it there? Verse 6. You don't have it. I'm going to read it for you. It's fine. It says, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. And then it says, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith. And so the big principle that we work with when we prophesy is you prophesy according to your faith. Meaning there are some people with big measures of faith when it comes to prophecy. They hear God more easily, and some plebs like me don't hear God as easily. And that's okay. I've got a smaller measure of faith with prophecy, but bigger measures with other things. But that's okay. You prophesy in proportion to your faith. And so for you, it might just feel like a leading, and for someone else, it's a more direct word. Or, am I making sense? But you prophesy and you use words in accordance with your faith. Do not say, God said, or thus saith the Lord, if thus saith, did not saith the Lord. Don't do that. It's not helpful. Rather say, I felt on my heart, or I was reminded of a scripture, or God reminded me of something, or you know, like words like that is more in proportion to your faith. I think that's a more helpful thing to share with people. And so this is how I do it, practically, how I prophesy. I'm not going to do it now because it's a bit on the spot. Paul can do that. But I do believe that God speaks to me. So really, I don't sleep with the angels. I don't glow in the dark. I don't wake up with a halo and then quickly erase it before coming to church. I don't do these things, but I can hear the voice of God. And I've learned over years to hear the voice of God. So I just want to make it super practical. This is how I, when I prophesy, I come with this. I don't say, God, you have to speak to me. I say, God, please, will you speak to me? That's the first thing. I don't make up anything that there's not. I try my best not to, but I also do step out in faith, saying, Lord, I think it's you, and then I step out in faith. But I normally do this. I pray for someone. For me, it comes out in prayer. And let's say I'm praying for Donnie. I'll pray for Donnie, and I just start praying for whatever, and I almost do a sweep of prayers. I start praying for his family, start praying for his business, I start praying for him in church, But somewhere while I'm praying, this is so interesting. This is how it works for me. I feel the river of God. I can't explain it. It's like I pray for something and I feel like, yes, that's right. There's life on that prayer. Have any of you experienced that? You know what I'm speaking about? It's like I'm here, but then I feel, okay, but the river's taking me, and then I keep praying there, and I just try and follow the river, and then I ask the Lord, Lord, yeah, is this what you're saying? It's like I've got a sense in my heart that that's what the Lord is saying. That's as simple as it is for me. And you can do that too. You can pray for someone and allow the Lord to move you. Some of you might have an impression. Few of us have visions, but most of us, sometimes there's an impression. It's like a picture in your imagination that's just random and God puts it there. Some of you, it would be scripture. God speaks to you out of scripture a lot. He reminds you of scripture. And some of you will be like me, but all of us can trust the Lord for prophecy and step out in faith. Then secondly, it's also important how we receive prophecy. And then I'm going to end. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 19 to 21 says the following. Do not quench the Spirit. Because you know that we can do that. We can say, oh, that stuff is weird. I don't like that stuff. I'm not that type of Christian. Listen, I'm not that type of Christian, but I've become that type of Christian. In my natural self, maybe this is weird for me, but I've learned to love the ways of God. But if you become like that, if in your heart you've got blockages, all you think is riverbanks and you never think river, then you can quench the Holy Spirit and you can miss Him moving in your life. But do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. We can do that because we've seen so much abuse that we don't want to look at the right use. You remember I said that I think 2 weeks ago, abuse should not lead to no use, it should lead to right use. And some of us can despise prophecies because we just think, no man, that person made it up. Listen, you don't actually know whether they made it up. None of us know. But if it's in line with the Bible, if it's saying what the Bible says, there's a scripture in Revelation that says the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. If it's in line with Jesus and it's like it's what Jesus would probably have said, if it builds you up, stirs you up, or cheers you up, amen, then don't try and doubt that person. Do not despise prophecies. Be open that maybe the Lord wants to speak to you. So it's having an open posture. It's having a posture of faith and saying, Lord, please come speak to me. And then verse 21, but taste everything and hold fast to what is good. The proper thing is to taste prophecies. You test it by the word of God. Man, if you receive a prophecy that there's some demon in your life and it's because there's a Toy Story doll in your house, like those things, it's so weird. And sometimes these weird prophecies can come to us and we don't know what to do with it. Those things I would sort of just put aside and say, well, Lord, unless it's in the Bible clearly, unless I can see it in the word, unless it speaks of Jesus, unless it builds me up, stirs me up, cheers me up, Lord, then I'm just going to park that thing there. I'm not going to let it infiltrate my relationship with you. Does that make sense? But if it is within that realm, then we can take it to heart and pray about it. Listen, I want to say most prophecies we share should not be directional. It shouldn't be who you marry, where you work, where you live. Those things are difficult to test. Those types of words I would put on a shelf and I would say, Lord, if it's you, then you will speak to me as well. Amen? Don't just run after these things. Don't go marry someone because someone prophesied it. Those things you shelve and you say, Lord, speak to me if this is true. And if he doesn't, then it was probably wrong and you move on. But if it's not foretelling, but it's just forthtelling, telling forth what's on God's heart for you, take it. Embrace it. And say, Lord, thank you for speaking to me. Can we stand together?